That's where it all started. We put it all in the music, all our frustration and anger. Our music was like our weapon.
And that's the most powerful weapon we got.
What's up, man?
A lot of people don't realize about NWA. It's nonviolent protest. We let people know that it's okay to say what you want to say. It's crazy to see how all these different people around the world feel the same way that we feel. We kicked the door down for a lot of artists.
Game time! What's up?
The foundation that was set by y'all, man, I'm so appreciative. You know, I just try to keep the flame lit.
What's up?
What's up? When I think of NWA, it wasn't really music to me. It was more like a real lifestyle. Brothers from my neighborhood that made it out.
The same thing that we was going through in the 80s with the police people going through right now.
It's a good time for us to tell our story. There's some kids from Compton. How we touched the world.
Out of Compton, a crazy motherfucker named P1 from the Movie Spoilers Podcast crew, son. When I'm called off, I gotta sawed off, squeeze the trigger and bodies are hauled off. You too, boy, if you fuck with me, the police are gonna have to come and get me off your ass. That's how I'm going out. For the punk motherfuckers that's showing out, niggas start to mumble, they wanna rumble, mix them and cook them in a pot like gumbo. Going off on a motherfucker like that with a gat that's pointed at your ass. So give it up smooth, ain't no telling when I'm down for a jack move. Here's a murder rap to keep you dancing, with a crime record like Charles Manson. AK-47 is the tool, don't make me act a motherfucking fool. Me and you can go toe to toe, no maybe. I'm knocking niggas out the box daily, yo, weekly, monthly, and yearly, until them dumb motherfuckers see clearly that I'm down with the capital CPT. Boy, you can't fuck with me, so when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck. Cause P1 is crazy as fuck. As I believe I'm stomping. But when I come back, boy, cause I'm coming straight out of Compton. Compton. Bam, bam, bam. Woo, people. Oh, my Lord, we are here. Who would have thought after this movie got announced that I would be sitting up here praising the fuck out of this movie? Kicked ass, people. I mean, I'm talking about. Shit, it brought up them old P1 roots in me, as you can see, whatever, shot. Got me over here rapping, so, ooh, Lord, them lyrics are tight, son. Oh, people, welcome. All right, clearly, you can tell what this is after that long-ass intro and that, especially with the opening credits of this, review, and then, you know, the terribly rap version of Ice Cube's version with P1 here. Did you like it? No, you didn't like it. Of course not. I'm no rapper. I'm a podcast host. But, people, we here to talk about Straight Outta Compton, man. Compton, oh, straight out of Compton. If you don't know, people, that is my hometown, born and raised, Compton bred. And you know, I've been praising Compton for a while now, cause you know, everybody always talk about every time they hear the word Compton, they always think of like, and gunshots and shit like that. But I've been praising Compton and the fact of saying that. Yeah, people keep saying that, but look at the track record of how many fucking millionaires and billionaires come from fucking Compton. Shit, even the last dumbass president, Bush, lived up in Compton in the 70s. I did my research on that, people. Back when I was in college, I did do a paper on my community, and I found out that Bush lived there. So, yeah, I got to show you. Actually, that ain't a praise, and Bush lived there, so never mind. Let me shut the fuck about him. But, you know, I can go through rappers and athletes and all kind of things, because people, I swear, they sit up and down saying, oh, Hollywood treats black people like crap. When black people gonna take over Hollywood? Why do black people need to take over Hollywood? half of the motherfuckers are from Compton that took over the music industry and professional sports, because we stole tennis from y'all white people with Serena and Venus. There you go, Compton, all day, every day, baby. People's like, damn, nigga, can you give a review, please? Shit, I don't know where you go with that. I'm sorry, people. I am hyped right now. I mean, I am hyped like a motherfucker. I never thought I'd be saying this, but I would damn near say this is one of my favorite movies of the summer. I'll go ahead and say that. It has nothing to do with just from me being from there, because I guess not like anybody else was praising the movie. I was a little worried. I was like, oh, shit, is this going to put my city in the limelight of saying, now, that city is a shithole. So now, granted, it did do that, but at the same time, you know, it really centered on showing that, you know, NWA was, is a peaceful protest group. At least without Eazy-E there. He was a crazy motherfucker. But, yeah, man, let me go ahead and give a plot synopsis of this. I mean, pretty much it's the group NWA merges. Obviously, you got Dre, MC Ren, DJ Yella, Eazy-E, and Ice Cube. You know, Dr. Dre. I got to give a shout-out to this cast here, man. This cast was incredible. You got O'Shea Jackson Jr., of course, playing Ice Cube's. That's Ice Cube's son. Corey Hawkins plays Dr. Dre. Jason Mitchell, Eazy-E, who looks nothing like fucking Eazy-E, by the way. Neil Brown Jr., DJ Yella, looks nothing like fucking DJ Yella either. And Aldis Hodge, who played MC Ren. And MC Ren was friends with Eazy-E. And, you know, it opens up with a whole drug bust here, which was pretty cool. Dre and Eazy-E already knew each other. Ice Cube was working with Dre. Dre had set up a little performance at this club in Compton, old school club back in the 80s. This takes place in about 87 through, I want to say, I think the last time I saw it was 94, maybe, 94, 95, especially when the West Coast gangsta hip-hop was on the rise here. But, man, dude, this is probably the best soundtrack I heard this year. This soundtrack kicked a hell out of ass. I mean, it was playing a lot of old school. There was at one point, too, because they brought up a lot of New York rap at the time, too. Man, I heard Rakim in the background. I heard some Wu-Tang. I heard Cream playing in the background. I was like, oh, shit. I was like, Cream, get the money. Dollar bill, y'all. I was like, shit, man. And by the way, I went to a public screener at 11 a.m. on a Tuesday morning. Shit was crowded. I'm talking crowded. I was like, damn, this movie is going to fucking kill this weekend at the box office. I was like, this shit is crazy. Now, granted, I am in California, and my screener was in Long Beach, right next to Compton. So, you know, it's necessary that probably this movie would do really well as far as how many people would go being in this state and in this county of L.A. part two. But these five get together, and they start Ruthless Records, mainly Eazy-E's company. Eazy didn't really want to be a rapper. You got Jerry Heller played by Paul Giamatti, and everybody knows the history of Jerry Heller. He's pretty much ripping off NWA and pretty much tricking Eazy-E, if you will, you know, to basically cheating Eazy-E out of his money and shit to pretty much turn on his friends and stuff like that, his brothers pretty much here. And basically this movie is just a like any other biography film you got about musicians, the rise and fall of a certain group. I mean, that really is the plot synopsis here, but I gotta say, man, this movie, it is two and a half hours long, and I never once felt like it lost pace. Matter of fact, this is probably the first 2.5 hour movie that I wanted to go longer, because I felt like there was so much about NWA that you could have crammed in this fucking movie. And I more props to the director here, F. Gary Gray. I give him nothing but credit on this one for cramming so much of NWA storyline, especially on their solo careers too, with Dr. Dre and Eazy-E, and also with Ice Cube, even bringing up some of, you know, his movie career too, with, you know, goddamn Boys in the Hood. Shit, I was about to say Boys in Outer Space, some shit like that. Boys in the Hood, and even bringing up Friday for that matter too in here, and also even putting in the Rodney King beat and stuff. It's probably one of my main problems with the film, but, you know, it didn't take away from the film. But I guess I should go ahead and probably get that out the way, is I think that the film sort of, like, for the first half sounds like it has a message to be told, especially when the group NWA is together and stuff. But I think the later the film goes on, once they start to go their separate ways, that message kind of gets dropped, and it just becomes kind of a typical
autobiography of, you know, a musician or a musical group or something like that. I think that was probably its only fault. Not one of these only faults, but for me, it was a fault that I saw in the film that didn't take away. But I think that the movie probably would have been cool if it would have still had that message. But I understand that this is autobiography, so, you know, you definitely got to tell a story. I know a lot of people also said that they didn't want to see the whole AIDS thing with Eazy-E, which I was kind of thinking, because a lot of people found that to be awkward to be thrown in this film. But you gotta understand, people, that was the fall of N.W.A. right there. I mean, that was the last fall, if you will, because, you know, N.W.A. was on the verge of coming back together, you know, getting rid of Jerry Heller as their manager who plays him, who's played by Paul Giamatti in this film. You know, they were getting rid of him. And it was time to get N.W.A. Ice Cube has been on a successful road, especially with his movies and America's Most Wanted. Dre was fucking at Death Row Records, putting it down for people like Tupac and Snoop Dogg. And, you know, Eazy-E was kind of, you know, I was obviously losing money because he was getting ripped off by Jerry Heller and stuff. But, you know, it was about getting the family back together. And as soon as they was going to do it, you know, that's when the whole AIDS thing for Eazy kicked in. And obviously, a couple of months later, he died. Which obviously stopped the group from reuniting back together. So yeah, I felt like that had to be in the film. But let me go ahead and say what I loved in here, man. The cast is fucking great in here. They have so much chemistry together. I mean, they're fucking fantastic. Ice Cube's son. I know he's his son, but I gotta say, he was the best actor in here. I mean, as far as a character actor goes, playing his dad, he nailed it spot on. Because obviously, I grew up listening to N.W.A., one of my favorite, you know, rap groups of all time, actually. Clearly, Ice Cube, I don't know if people knew this one, or Ice Cube is, excuse me, he's not only my favorite West Coast rapper, but he's like in my top five of favorite rappers. I always thought this dude, especially Vaseline, baby, you know, everybody always praised Tupac, whatever, for Hit 'Em Up and shit like that. No, the best diss track. Vaseline, man, that was the best diss track ever. I mean, now you fast forward about 20, 30 years later, and you got fucking Drake and Meek Mills. And it's like, oh, look at that. That's so by the way, which is fucking stupid, too. Both of those songs are terrible. So I don't even know why one is failing over the other. But no Vaseline, which they brought it up in here, the beef with Ice Cube had with N.W.A. It really wasn't even beef because, you know, obviously America's Most Wanted came out when Ice Cube split it from N.W.A. because he was being cheated by Jerry Heller here. They wouldn't give him a contract. I mean, they didn't give Ice Cube a contract, which fucking sucked because everybody knows that Ice Cube wrote damn near all the lyrics for most N.W.A.'s popular songs. You know, Straight Outta Compton being one, like I just played. Fuck the police. Yes, fuck them all, especially in this goddamn movie. Fuck every fucking single last one of you police officers right now. Damn, I'm blanking now right now. Sorry, people. I'm still amazed by this movie. I should have did the review like on a weekend or something like that and let this movie sing in my head a little bit more because I'm a little bit hyped right now. But so Ice Cube wrote all the music, so obviously you would think he would have got some, but he didn't get a damn dime of the money that N.W.A. was made while they were on tour and stuff. And when I say wrote the lyrics, MC Ren wrote his own lyrics, but let's be real, MC Ren lyrics kind of fucking suck. So because once Ice Cube left, you know, N.W.A. they were still hot. But I don't think their lyrics really meant as much as they did when Cube was on there. Because Cube did more political hip-hop. I mean, it was like that. And it wasn't like New York style where it was just like, you know, conscious hip-hop or something like that. But it was more of an angry, violent towards, you know, the brutality that was going on in L.A. Especially with the whole riots and, you know, the Rodney King beatings. And the police in here, dude, man, they amped them up to a whole nother level. Like, if you think the cops are bad now... and I'm not saying amped up for this movie and say, because I know definitely back then, especially me growing up in Compton myself, I know exactly how bad the fucking police are and shit like that. I done been pulled over a couple of times by in front of my fucking house, just like in this movie, by Compton Sheriff Department, and asked some of the most stupidest fucking questions and stuff. But in this movie, man, they made those cops into some real fucking villains, and you couldn't help but chant fuck the police in this movie. I mean, this movie... it was damn near a fucking live concert because it had the audience, which, by the way, were a lot of Hispanics and black people. And it was funny because this was the first time the black people was, like, struck on the movie screen. They were just like, they were, and the, you know, the Hispanics, there was one Hispanic chick in front of me. She was throwing up signs in the air, and she had this little kid. There was a kid in there, and he was just throwing up signs too. And I was sitting next to this black girl. I don't know if she was a critic or a general audience member or whatever and stuff. But I was sitting next to her, and we kind of just looked at each other, and we looked down at them, and was just like, we both just whispered, can they put their fucking hands down? They look stupid and fucking ridiculous right now. Because clearly, and I didn't say all Mexicans, but these Mexicans in front of us sure as fuck didn't know nothing about what NWA stood for, nothing about what this movie was trying to say or what it was trying to do or what the whole lyrics behind their songs were really saying about, you know, of what they really saw in the, not even in the media, but just in their damn backyard, you know. It was a great, Ice Cube, like I said, his son did a fucking amazing job, man. Dr. Dre, Corey Hawkins, this dude looks spot on like Dr. Dre, and I think he captured a lot of the essence of Dr. Dre. There was one line that I didn't really believe him, where he said, when he left Death Row and said, I'm starting my own, and he's like, what's the name of your shit? He's like, Aftermath. It was kind of a little cheesy right there when he said that, but overall, I thought Corey Hawkins did a great job, especially when his brother is killed in this movie. I thought he showed a lot of emotion, did a lot of great drama in this film. Jason Mitchell. Now, even though he doesn't look like Eazy-E, I gotta say, his performance nailed it to a bone. I mean, it was funny because... I remember years ago, Ice Cube did this interview. I want to say back in 2011, 2012 maybe. And it was for the Hot 97 podcast. And he was talking about, you know, the whole Eazy-E and going out and stuff like that. And he was talking about, like, we had to force Eazy-E, you know, to be a rapper and stuff. Because he didn't want to do it because, you know, Eazy-E was kind of getting a lot of the spotlight at the time, even though that, you know, the real talent in there was Dre and Cube. Because, you know, Cube was writing the shit that you know, that meant something to the audience members that was standing out kind of a rebellious way. And, you know, Dre was laying the beats down for him to go with. I mean, Eazy-E, that scene you see in the trailer, people, where he's cruising down the street in my 6'4". That took a couple of fucking tries in this movie. It was funny as hell because the way Jason Mitchell, the way he was reading the lines, first he was like, cruising down the street in my 6'4". Okay, and it was like, it was pretty funny. I mean, they had a lot of funny moments. Matter of fact, the funniest, Ice Cube, all of them, like I say, is the best actor in here. I mean, Ice Cube's son, at least O'Shea Jackson Jr., he did a fucking fantastic job. There was one scene here that had the audience laughing their ass off. It's when Ice Cube's already broke away from NWA. It's like halfway past the film. And he's doing an interview. And after, we all heard Vaseline now, people. They play here on here. And man, I gotta say, our boy, what's his name? Paul Giamatti. He fucking nailed that shit of losing this shit because when they played No Vaseline in this movie, and you see Eazy-E in here sitting down, shit, and they're all chilling, listening to that, and DJ Yella, he's the only one laughing. He's just like, I gotta admit, that shit is kind of funny though. That shit had. Paul Giamatti losing his shit like no other. I mean, I ain't never seen him lose this shit. Like, he was getting mad. He was like, oh, I always knew that Cube was trouble. I knew that he hate Jews. And I was he's like, that anti-Jew song he made or something, like, we need to take lawyers after him and stuff. It was pretty funny as hell. So Cube gets interviewed and he thought it was about the Rodney King beatings. Cause Cube manages to still write songs that still related to what he saw on the streets and stuff like that. Meanwhile, NWA, and yeah, obviously they had MC Ren writing it, who, I don't care what people say, he wasn't the best of writers for NWA, that's for damn sure. I mean, at least what they stood for at first. Now, if they would have just been a typical gangster group rap artists, then that's fine. But I think NWA stood for a little bit more, at least for, yeah, not even saying at least, they did. They put the West Coast on the map. They put West Coast hip hop on the map of looking at it. It's just not angry violence or gang music or anything like that. They actually had a voice, and you know, they really speak about that in this movie really hard, that, you know, what we say is just a testament to protest. This is a peaceful protest and expressing it in our way that we sick of this shit. You know, even with the riots and everyone, you know, people calling black people animals and shit for the riots and stuff, I gotta say, this is probably the first time, cause everybody knows how I feel about the ghetto shit. I can't stand that shit, but this had to be the first time where I saw a riot break out and I said, I actually am proud of that riot, and for this movie, I'm actually proud of this movie, to be honest, too, because, you know, just like NWA and just like those people that started the riots in Baltimore, I'm just as sick of this shit as they are. I mean, it's getting goddamn ridiculous every time that, you know, a black person is killed, or a minority for that matter, or a lower class person is killed for that matter. Take the people to court, officer never get fired, or never get spends years in prison or anything like that. The best he'll get is suspended with pay, so he damn near getting a vacation, kind of, in a way. And next you know what, he's found it not guilty and shit. It's like every time you take him to the right way, there's no justice, nothing to do. So you know what, that riot to me actually meant a lot more. And you know, all you people that's calling them animals and shit like that, you need to grow a fucking set and look the other way, you fucking dumbasses, because this is exactly what that movie was all about, you know. There's a lot of moments in here too. Like I was saying, well, the interview when he was asking about the, he's supposed to ask him about Rodney King being, this guy, this interviewer, he went off to saying, "Don't you hate Jews though, Ice?" And he's like, "Look, I thought this was about the Rodney King beans." And then Ice Cube, O'Shea Jackson, schooled his ass on how to interview someone, and then said, "You know what, I apologize though, this is angry me, let me be nice and friendly to you, what's your name again?" And then when the guy tried to shake his hand, he just says, "Hey, how you doing, Bobby? Okay, now, yeah, here, now get the fuck up off my yard, whatever, and eat a dick right now." That shit had the whole audience laughing. Even I had to clap. I gotta say, too, this is probably the first time I saw a movie that wasn't a Marvel movie where the whole audience sat through the credits just because it was showing pretty much what Dr. Dre and Ice Cube has done for Compton, you know, and what it's done for the rappers of the West Coast and stuff like that. It was, you know, going around the city, you know, they showed, you know, Ice Cube movie career shooting up, owning his own studio, you know, showing Dr. Dre sell beats. And then, you know, it went to a project they're working on in Compton where they're starting, you know, a lot of the regentrification in Compton. They're putting their own money into it. Even, damn it, I'm blanking on his name right now. A friend of the family of mine or whatever, because, you know, my mom grew up, born and raised in Compton as well. Shit, she knows every damn body that's down there. Hell, she had Tayshaun Prince, basketball player, people, NBA. Yeah, them come and sign my sister's basketball because his family lives right down the street from my mom's house down there. But, barbecue owner, man, makes some of the best barbecue in Compton. Shit, he was on the Food Network. People line up for that barbecue. He's even putting his own money into rebuilding Compton and starting most of the new stores and stuff you see like that. A lot of it came from just, you know, people like Ice Cube, people like Dr. Dre, people that own these popular shops out here and stuff like that. So, you know, it really was nice seeing that in this film. It's a testament to see your hometown on the screen and stuff, and see it become against the stereotype of what, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say it, the white upper class. And matter of fact, some of you black people too, for that matter, you bougie ass niggas, thinking that what Compton is all about, which it really isn't. I was having a conversation earlier and I was saying, shit, I feel safer in Compton not doing LA, to be honest. I don't know if it's just because I know all the gangs and shit like that, but I feel a hell of a lot safer in Compton than I would ever do in anywhere else, I'll be honest. This movie was so goddamn good, my mom even loved it. She called me when she saw it, and my sister, and my dad for that matter, who don't even go fucking see movies and shit, and told me how much. We had a long ass conversation. We was talking about Compton, we was talking about Dre and Cube, we was talking about, you know, because I met Cube years ago, man. I want to say right before I started Movie Spoilers, and dude is real humble. You know, it's nice to see, because, you know, Compton has had a bad rap for so long, but it's nice to see, you know, growing up in the Compton Long Beach part, because we, you know, two connected cities. Seeing the rappers come back that made millions of dollars and shit like that come back and say, you know, we're proud from where we came from. Because, you know, a lot of people would try to hide the fact that they're from a city like this that had the reputation built upon itself. But once again, it was more so that, not to say that those gangs didn't exist because they did, but it was more so of the media influencing people to believe that what was going on and stuff like that. And once again, that No Vaseline song fucking killed the whole damn movie. I mean, when they play that shit, and all you heard in the audience going, ooh, even I had to say, you guys are going to be okay? Because I was like, damn, dude, I think you done murdered everybody in this motherfucker right now. People, if you ain't never heard No Vaseline, it's the diss track Ice Cube made for NWA. I thought it was one of the greatest diss tracks ever made, to be honest, because that shit was awesome. And when they played in this movie, You can tell Mike dropped, Ice Cube won that battle. Go ahead and play that right now. For people know, on America's Most Wanted, everybody, NWA took it as if Ice Cube was taking shots at them, when Ice Cube even said himself, I never once called out NWA, said nothing about Easy or Jerry or anything like that. But if they want war, then I'd be happy to go to war with them. Here's what they think about.
Fuck all y'all. Goddamn, I'm glad y'all set it off. Used to be hard, now you just went soft. Bert, you was down with the AK. And now I see you on a video with Mitchell Lake, looking like straight in low zones. I saw it coming, that's why I went solo. And kept on stomping. Well, y'all motherfuckers moved straight out of Compton. Living with the whites, one big house, and not another nigga in sight. I started off with too much cargo, dropped four niggas, not making no other dough. The niggas with attitudes, who you fooling? Y'all niggas just phony. I put that on my mama and my dad's homies. Yellow boys on your team, so you're losing. And yo, Trey, stick to producing.
Even DJ Yellow found that part funny in this movie. He was laughing his ass off. And of course, Jerry Heller in this film did not take lightly to that part of the film. Because that shit was funny when Paul Giamatti lost his shit in this scene right here. But even, like I said, even DJ Yellow was laughing at this shit. I remember everyone in the audience went, oh, shit. Even DJ Yellow in the movie was like looking at MC Ren and was going like, damn. Because it was Jerry Heller was just like, we're going to end Ice Cube's fucking career. And then DJ Yellow was like, that seems about hard to do right about now. And I was like, yeah, that's about hard to do right now. Because I think he didn't earn everyone's respect on the East and West Coast for what he did. I mean, this movie, one thing I did love about it too is it really showed you how they fucked over Ice Cube in this movie. And like, he was one of the smart ones to see at the beginning, like how Jerry Heller was really playing them from reading their contracts. And then, you know, slowly as time passed by, Dr. Dre and all them start to realize, and even Eazy-E, I mean, there's even been interviews, you know, where Eazy-E's had problems with Dre and Ice Cube, but then realize, oh, Jerry Heller was fucking me over. And, you know, it's not so much Eazy-E's fault, because they set the man up to be a man of loyalty and stuff like that. And for someone like Jerry Heller, we believe to be looking out for his best interests and helping him get this going and get pretty much get him off the streets and stuff like that. I understand exactly where Eazy-E came from. I mean, the chemistry between these guys here, it really showed a testament in the film. And then even in the auto, once it left the message part, because, you know, oh, man, there was one scene that even pissed me off, though, with the cops, too, I have to say. It was just, you see this in the trailer when they pull over and Paul Giamatti trying to say these are artists and stuff. There's that one black cop right there. Ice Cube was like, yo, I'm sick of this shit right here, whatever. And that black cop said, get back on in that studio and let your master put you down right now. You could just feel the hair on the back of my neck just rise up. I was just like, oh, God. It had to take every ounce of your strength back in the 80s not to shoot a fucking cop right there. Because I'd be goddamn, if someone told me some shit like that, whoo, man. Oh, man, gloves are off right now. I got to beat his ass now, because that was like the ultimate insult there. And then, you know, it showed a great scene when that happened, too. It was Cube walking in the studio pissed off. Said, I got a new song here, Fuck the Police. FBI tried to shut down Fuck the Police. They even pulled, at I think it was in Detroit, they even pulled Cube and NWA to the side and said, Fuck the Police is banned. If you play it, you will be arrested, which I find to be the ultimate bullshit. I don't see how you can be arrested for playing some song, to be honest. And, you know, obviously you've seen the trailer. Dre, I got something to say. And then, you know, fuck the police coming straight from the underground. I can sing that song too like a motherfucker. Yeah, man, it was just a, it was a great, I mean, it's probably the best musical autobiography I've ever seen, man. I gotta say, I was pretty excited. I wanted to see it go on longer. I wanted to see, you know, after Eazy-E's death, how they dealt with it. I mean, there was a lot more I wanted to see in this film. And once again, credit goes to F. Gary Gray for cramming so much in here and getting it correct, getting the story right, and getting some elements that I've known from interviews or just from my personal experience of listening to N.W.A. correct. You know, even showing Ice Cube's wife that who he stayed with for the longest time, even his kids and stuff like that. And it was a lot in this movie they had to offer, man. I actually fell in love with them. It's probably not even one of my best reviews, people, because I'm kind of just all over the place, obviously. Because I'm just a little excited right now. I couldn't believe how great this film was. Like I said, my only problem with it really was that it felt like it did have a message, but then went into autobiography territory. But I guess that was kind of expected. Seeing that it was claimed as an autobiography, but it's like, you kind of start off like you had some meaning to it, but then it just went into, you know, I guess the typical, okay, here's the downfall of it, now let's see the group get together, but what's going to be stopping them, because we all know the history of, you know, the AIDS epidemic, but, nah, you know what, man, I gave a lot of films a high C it this year, and you know what, I was debating this, I was like, I'm going to give it a C it, but you know what, I gotta say, I'm still hyped up for the movie, I may want to go see it again. Even though everybody and their fucking mama, I'm trying to figure out who the fuck would I take, because everybody else didn't fucking see it now at this point. Yeah, I'll probably go see it this weekend if, once I will be going out to, never mind. maybe I'll see it in San Diego, who knows, whatever, but, no, this definitely, for me, it's getting a high seed. I mean, I absolutely like this film a lot, absolutely loved it. Easily one of my favorite films of the summer. It's shocking, too, because I just sat there listening to me. Oh, by the way, whoever the fuck they got to play Tupac, that dude was spot on. Oh, and Suge Knight. Suge Knight's ass was scary as fuck in this film. And Tupac in here, this dude looks just like fucking Tupac. I was like, damn, is that the hologram or is that really him? The dude they had playing Snoop Dogg in here looked nothing like Snoop Dogg. And he was the dude from Selma who got shot with the old father, the one that put everybody in tears and stuff like that. But I gotta say, this was another one of those things that even though he didn't have that much dialogue, he sounded just like Snoop Dogg. I was wondering if they just dubbed Snoop's voice over that ass. Because his ass sounded just like him and had that same walk like him and everything. That look, that head was stribbling down, shit like that. Me and Snoop, D-O, Double G, and Dr. Dre, you know, I was like, oh. I love the fuck out of this. It's a high see it, goddamn it. High see it, man. Make goddamn Straight out of Compton Part 2 with, oh wait, no, hell no, I don't want to see that, because then, you know, I already know what that consists of. Consists of The Game and Kendrick Lamar. But like I said, it's a high see it, and when you go see this movie, you just tell the ticket booth that P1 sent you and he's coming, and you're coming straight out of Compton.
What's NWA stand for anyway? No whites allowed? Something like that? No. Niggas with attitudes.
Your songs, they glamorize gangs and drugs.
Our art is a reflection of our reality.
The Rodney King beating was a shocker.
Guys like you change shit like this.
This is a threat, guys, from the federal government.
Speak a little truth and people lose their minds.
Performers of the song F the Police will not be permitted.
They're trying to tell us what the fuck